You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're plunging into a really fascinating set of ideas all about swing trading.
That's right, specifically from Oliver Velez's Swing Trading Tactics, the 2001 material.
Exactly. And forget just, you know, scratching the surface. Our goal here is to pull out the real core knowledge. We want those practical insights on how you can actually tackle the market using swing trading specific timelines and strategies.
And make it clear, right. Useful for you without getting totally bogged down in confusing jargon or just too much info.
Absolutely. So what materials are we working with here?
Well, it's a pretty rich mix, actually. We've got excerpts straight from the book itself, you know, where it lays out the basics, charting time frames, different ways to trade, specific setups.
Okay.
And crucially, we also have a bunch of charts, like visual examples, monthly, weekly, daily.
The visuals.
Yeah. Yes. And even shorter term, hourly and intraday views. Stocks like INTC and ADCT feature pretty heavily. These really help bring the concepts to life, I think.
Makes sense. And for you, our listener, think of this as maybe your shortcut to getting a solid handle on swing trading. If you want to gain knowledge quickly, but also thoroughly, understand different ways people view the market.
And maybe have those aha moments.
Exactly, those aha moments, then you're definitely in the right place. We're really focused on pulling out stuff you can actually use.
Actionable insights.
Right, and explaining it clearly, respecting your time. Okay, let's dive in. The material kicks off by really stressing how important different charting time frames are.
Yeah, that's fundamental. It depends heavily on your trading style.
And it organizes them pretty neatly, right? Into long-term, intermediate, and short-term views.
It does. It breaks down six main time frames into those three buckets. So the long-term view, that includes yearly charts. Each bar is like 240 trading days. Massive.
Wow, okay.
And monthly charts, where each bar is about 20 trading days. The book kind of positions these as mainly for, you know, academic stuff, long-term cycle and
else. What, but for really long-term investors, maybe, looking at the big multi-year picture.
Exactly. People holding for years, not days or weeks.
Got it. So probably not where a typical swing trader is spending most of their energy.
Generally, no.
Which brings us to the intermediate term charts. Now, this sounds more like our focus today.
Yes, this is key. We're talking weekly charts. Each bar is five trading days and daily charts, where each bar is one full trading day.
Okay. And how do swing traders use these, according to Velez?
Well, the source suggests swing traders might glance at weekly charts sometimes, maybe check in once a week, just to stay oriented, you know.
Right, get the bigger context.
But the daily chart, that's really their main territory, their home base.
Okay. So that's where the action is for them.
That's where they're spending most of their analysis time and supposedly getting something like 95% of their entry and exit signals.
95%, that's huge.
It is. And we actually have examples, those monthly and weekly charts of INTC you mentioned, showing 20 and 40 period moving averages. The R20 OMA and R40 OMA.
Right. And how do those moving averages on the longer frames help the swing trader on the daily?
Well, it's about context, isn't it? They provide that backdrop. You can see on those charts how those moving averages help define the broader underlying trend.
So the swing trader, who's mainly looking at the daily, needs to know if they're swimming with the current or against it.
Precisely. Avoid trading against that dominant flow shown on the weekly or even monthly.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, now let's zoom in even further. Short-term charts.
Right. So this bucket includes hourly charts, 60 minutes per bar, and then the intraday charts, specifically the 15-minute and the 5-minute bars.
And who's using these mainly? Day traders?
Primarily, yes. The book says hourly charts can help day traders sort of filter out some of the super short-term noise, get a clearer view of the immediate trend. Mm-hmm. They might also be useful for like really short plays, maybe holding for just a day or two.
Okay, like super short swing trades almost.
Kind of, but for really nailing down those entries and exits, those fine-tuned moments, the 15-minute and 5-minute charts are where day traders and scalpers live. Almost all their cues come from there.
Gotcha. And we have examples of these too, right? INTC again?
Yep. Hourly, 15-minute, 5-minute charts of INTC. And these show the daily moving averages overlaid the D20 MEMA, D40 MEMA, and the D200 MEMA.
So you can see how those shorter-term price movements relate to the daily trend indicators.
Exactly. It offers that much more granular view of what's happening within the day. A swing trader on a daily chart might peek at an hourly chart maybe, to pinpoint the best entry or exit timing using those shorter-term MAs.
Okay, and this leads nicely into a really key point the material makes.
Combining time frames.
Yes. Using more than one time frame leads to higher trading accuracy. That's a direct quote, almost.
It's a recurring theme. They stress it quite a bit. It helps avoid traps.
Traps. How so?
Well, the book suggests a setup might look absolutely perfect on, say, your main time frame, like the daily. But if you don't check the longer term picture, like the weekly, you might not realize it's running right into major resistance or it's totally against the bigger trend.
So it looks good in isolation, but the broader context says danger.
Exactly. So stepping back, looking at multiple views gives you a more complete picture. Hopefully helps you dodge some of those trades that look good, but just fizzle out.
And they even differentiate between styles based on this, right? Wealth trading versus income trading.
They do. Wealth trading uses the longer intermediate frames, like weekly and daily, aiming for bigger moves over time.
Okay.
Whereas income trading focuses more on the daily and those shorter intraday charts for quicker profits, more frequent trading.
And there's a pristine tip about this multi-time frame thing being crucial.
Yep, they really hammer that home.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Trading styles. The material outlines four main types.
Yeah, grouped nicely into two categories, wealth building and income producing.
Makes sense. So under wealth building.
First is core trading. This is longer term, weeks to months, trying to capture major trends, mainly using weekly charts for, you know, longer term accounts.
Like a very active investor almost.
Kind of. And then there's swing trading, our main focus, holding period typically 2 to 10 days.
The sweet spot between long term and day trading.
Exactly. Designed to capture those shorter price swings within a bigger trend, using daily charts primarily.
And there was a note about Pristine's philosophy here.
Yeah, interesting point. They suggest always having at least one of these wealth-building trades, core or swing, active in your portfolio.
Huh. Always keeping something working for you longer term. Okay, what about the other side? Income producing.
Two styles there. First, guerrilla trading.
Guerrilla trading. Sounds aggressive.
It's described as a very short-term hit-and-run style, like 1 to 2 days max, uses daily and hourly charts. The idea is basically buy one day, sell the next, or vice versa if you're shorting.
Quick in, quick out.
Pretty much. And then there's micro trading.
Which is basically day trading or scalping.
Essentially, yes. Operating on those really short time frames, seconds to hours, using the 5 and 15-minute charts almost exclusively. The book calls this the foundation for making a living from the markets via active trading.
And Pristine's philosophy on this.
Recommends specializing in one or both of these income styles if that's your main goal, generating regular income from trading.
Got it. So focusing back on swing trading now, what tools does the source specifically recommend?
Okay, for swing trading, it emphasizes using daily charts, specifically in the Japanese candlestick format.
Candlesticks, okay. Any specific indicators?
Yes. Color-coded volume bars.
To see the strength behind moves.
Exactly. And then two simple moving averages, the 20 period and the 40 period.
Standard short to intermediate trend indicator.
Right. And finally, a 5-period commodity channel index, the CCI 5.
CCI. What's the thinking behind using that one?
Well, CCI is a momentum indicator. The 5-period version is quite sensitive, looking at very short-term momentum. It can help spot potential overbought or oversold conditions. Like, is the price moving too far, too fast?
Sort of like a rubber band stretching.
Kind of, yeah. But the source is careful to add context. It advises looking for buy signals from the CCI only when the stock is in an overall uptrend.
Aligning with the bigger picture again.
and looking for sell signals only in overall downtrends. It's not meant to be used in isolation against the main trend.
Okay, that's a crucial point. We have a chart showing volume in CCI5 too, right?
We do. It helps visualize how those might look on a daily chart.
Now, you mentioned Japanese candlesticks. The material makes a point about how they differ from traditional Western bar charts.
Yes, it highlights a key difference in emphasis. Japanese analysis, according to this source, really focuses on the relationship between the open and the close of the same day.
Okay, the range within that single candle.
Right, whereas Western analysis tends to emphasize where today's close is relative to the prior day's close.
So comparing close to close versus looking at the open to close story of the day itself.
Precisely, and there's an example given. Imagine a stock closes higher than yesterday, so it's an up day overall.
Okay.
But if it opened even higher and then sold off to close below its open.
Ah, so it gained from yesterday but showed weakness during the current day.
Exactly. A Western view might just see the gain. The Japanese candlestick view, focusing on that close below the open, might interpret it as potentially bearish, showing selling pressure came in.
Interesting distinction. Different lenses on the same price action.
Definitely.
Now, here's a concept that sounded really interesting, almost counterintuitive. These 3 to 5 bar patterns.
Ah, yes. The pictures of greed and pictures of pain.
Right. So 3 to 5 green bars in a row, picture of greed, might actually be a signal to sell.
Potentially, yes. It's a contrarian idea.
And 3 to 5 red bars, picture of pain, might signal a time to buy.
That's the concept. The logic behind it is about short-term market exhaustion or overextension. After 3, 4, 5 days of strong movement in one direction, the market might just be, you know, stretched too thin, due for a pause or a pullback.
Like it's run out of immediate buyers or sellers at that level.
Sort of. So these patterns act like little warning flags. Hey, the strong move might be getting tired. What looks like strength could actually be setting up weakness, and vice versa.
Fascinating. Okay, this feels like a good lead-in to maybe the most fundamental concept in the whole thing.
The market's basic unit, the atom.
Yes. And it's 4 stages. This is presented as, like, the only way a stock really moves, a constantly repeating cycle.
It's a core piece of their philosophy. Understanding where a stock is in this cycle is positioned as absolutely key to anticipating what might happen next.
And therefore, key to successful trading.
That's the argument. These 4 stages, they say, always happen in the same sequence.
Okay, what are they?
Stage 1, bottoming, characterized by uncertainty, ambivalence, generally low interest. Things are quiet.
Okay, the base building phase.
Stage 2, bullish. This is where greed kicks in, the uptrend really takes hold, and the material emphasizes this is where most profits are made. Ride stage 2.
Right. Don't try to perfectly pick the bottom in stage 1. Focus on catching stage 2.
Seems to be the message. Then stage 3, topping. Uncertainty creeps back in, sentiment starts to shift, enthusiasm wanes.
The party starts winding down.
And finally, stage 4, bearish. Fear takes over. Prices decline. And sadly, this is where they say most players tend to lose money.
Uncertainty, greed, uncertainty, fear, and repeat.
That's the cycle, driven by those core emotions.
And the book frames it pretty starkly, doesn't it? Winners understand and play this cycle correctly.
While losers are unknowingly playing it wrong. Or out of sync.
And successful traders apparently have specific tools or approaches tailored for each specific stage.
Exactly. It's not just knowing the theory. It's about identifying the current stage in real time and then adapting your strategy. You wouldn't use the same approach in a stage 4 free fall as you would in a stage 2 uptrend.
No, absolutely not. That makes sense. Now, these stages don't happen in a vacuum. They occur within broader trends.
Correct. The 4 stages play out within 3 primary market trends.
Mm-hmm.
Uptrends, downtrends, and sideways consolidation or trading ranges.
And each trend context requires matching trading actions.
Yes. An uptrend, for example, is described as basically a series of these 4 stage cycles, but each cycle starts and ends at a higher level than the last one.
Like climbing stairs, where each step has those 4 mini phases.
Good analogy. And remember that pristine trading tip we mentioned, it comes back here.
Aligning the cycles.
Yeah. The tip highlights buying when a minor stage 2 cycle forms within a major established stage 2 uptrend.
Stacking the probabilities.
Right.
Like riding a wave minor cycle that's already moving with a strong current major trend.
Exactly. That confluence increases the odds significantly, according to the source.
Okay, let's dig into that a bit. The anatomy of an uptrend, a major stage 2. How do buy setups develop?
So within that big stage 2 uptrend, you get these smaller minor cycles playing out. pullbacks and rallies. The prime buying opportunities arise when one of those miner cycles pulls back, goes through a minor stage 3 topping and a minor stage 4 decline, and then starts moving up again into a new minor stage 2. That's your entry point aligned with the major trend.
So you're buying the dip, but only when the dip seems to be ending and resuming the main upward direction.
That's the idea, buying renewed strength after a pause within an overall strong context.
Makes sense. And conversely, the anatomy of a downtrend of major stage 4.
Same principle, just inverted.
Huh?
Minor cycles happen within the major downtrend. The source points out that those minor stage 3 topping phases, the little countertrend rallies within the downtrend, often show specific warning signs.
Like what?
Things like topping tails on candlesticks, where price pushes up but closes way down. Or COGS closes off the highs. NRBs near range bodies showing indecision. Even novice gaps up that quickly fail.
So these are all clues during those small bounces that suggest the rally is weak and the main downtrend is likely to resume.
Exactly. They signal that the sellers are still ultimately in control, despite the temporary bounce. Renewed selling pressure is likely.
Okay, this is great context. Now, the material gets really specific with Pristine's own named setups, right? PBS and PSS.
Yes. Pristine's buy setup, PBS, and Pristine's key short setup, PSS. These are actionable patterns based on these cycle concepts.
Let's break down the PBS first. What are the criteria?
Okay, for a PBS, you're looking for 3 or more consecutive lower highs.
Okay, price failing to make new highs.
3 or more consecutive lower lows.
Price consistently breaking down.
And 3 or more consecutive dark or red candlestick bars.
So visually confirming that recent downward pressure. And this whole pattern suggests.
It suggests that this minor stage 4 downtrend might be reaching exhaustion. It's losing steam.
Potentially ready to reverse upwards.
Potentially. They do mention there can be exceptions for the color of the very last bar.
And stop loss placement is crucial here, obviously.
Absolutely critical. They emphasize that. Protect yourself if the reversal doesn't happen.
And the examples we have show PBS aligning with moving averages or CCI signals too.
Yeah, they show how the pattern can gain confirmation from other tools, like bouncing off a key moving average or the CCI turning up from an oversold level adds confidence.
Right. Okay. Now, flip side, Pristine's key short setup, the PSS. What are we looking for here?
For a PSS, the criteria are 3 or more consecutive higher lows.
So price finding support at progressively higher levels. Interesting emphasis on the lows there.
Yes, holding those higher lows is key. Also, 3 or more consecutive higher highs.
Making new highs.
And 3 or more consecutive light or green bars, suggesting recent upward strength.
Okay, so far this sounds bullish. Where's the short signal?
Well, the idea is this pattern, this minor stage 2 rally, might be getting exhausted, similar to the PBS on the downside. Especially, and this is interesting, if it's preceded by a lower low in the price action before this rally started.
A hint that the underlying trend might still be weak, or that buyers might be struggling despite the recent green bars.
Something like that. It's a setup looking for that rally to fail and roll over.
And again, stop loss placement is clearly defined.
Yes, absolutely essential for managing risk on a short trade.
And the examples show PSS maybe with a COG pattern to close off the high or after that preceding lower low.
Exactly. Showing how the PSS might appear alongside other potential topping signals, strengthening the case for a short.
Got it. These setups seem very concrete. Finally, the source material wraps up with a book recommendation.
It does. It strongly recommends Tools and Tactics for the Master Trader, also by Oliver Velez, co-authored with Greg Capra.
And they even quote Steve Neeson, the candlestick guru.
Yeah, a positive review from Neeson highlighting its unique insights and, importantly, its practical value for traders.
So it sounds like Swing Trading Tactics lays the foundation and Tools and Tactics gets deeper into the practical application.
That seems to be the implication. Like, here's the core framework and here's where you go for more detailed strategies and refinements.
Okay. So pulling this all together, what are the key takeaways for you, our listener? We've really unpacked a pretty comprehensive way to think about swing trading, haven't we?
I think so. Highlighting the crucial role of time frames. You can't just look at one.
Right. And understanding the differences between trading styles, wealth building versus income generation, and choosing what fits your goals.
And then the big one, the power of understanding those market cycles, the 4 stages.
And recognizing specific setups like the PBS and PSS that try to capitalize on turning points in those cycles.
And that constant theme of alignment, combining timeframes, matching your actions to the trend and the cycle stage, it offers a really valuable perspective.
Definitely. Was there anything in here that felt particularly surprising or led to an aha moment for you?
Well, I think the heavy emphasis on the market cycle itself and framing it in terms of those core human emotions, uncertainty, greed, fear. It's a powerful reminder that charts aren't just lines. They represent collective human behavior. Understanding that why can add a lot of depth.
Yeah, that psychological underpinning is really quite central here. Or maybe that contrarian idea about the 3 to 5 bar patterns, the pictures of greed and pain.
Right. That idea that obvious strength might actually signal weakness and vice versa. It definitely makes you pause and think about market dynamics differently.
Absolutely. And look, this deep dive, while we've covered a lot, it's really just the start, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
These concepts, market cycles, time frames, specific setups offer such a rich area for your own continued learning and observation in the markets.
Definitely worth exploring further. Maybe check out that recommended book, Tools and Tactics for the Master Trader, if this resonated with you. Dig deeper into the strategies.
Good suggestion. Which brings us to, Rapi, a final thought to leave you with.
Okay. How about this? If the market does truly operate in these somewhat predictable cycles, driven largely by consistent human emotions, how effectively can you train yourself to actually identify these stages as they're unfolding, you know, in real time?
That's the challenge, isn't it? Seeing it live.
And maybe even more importantly, how consistently can you then adapt your own trading approach to align with whatever stage or trend you're identifying?
That constant process of observation, assessment, application.
Yeah. That ongoing self-assessment and applying the knowledge might just be the key to navigating the often pretty turbulent waters of the market. Something to think about.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.